Welcome to a very special edition of Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Omid Hamid, MD, Director of the Melanoma Center and Phase 1 Immuno-Oncology Program at the Angeles Clinic and Research Institute, to discuss the FDA approval of atezolizumab in combination with cobimetinib and vemurafenib in BRAF V600 mutation-positive advanced melanoma. The July 30, 2020 regulatory decision was based on data from the pivotal Phase 3 Inspire 150 trial, in which the addition of atezolizumab to cobimetinib and vemurafenib led to a significant improvement in progression-free survival versus placebo plus cobimetinib and vemurafenib in treatment-naive patients with BRAF V600 mutant advanced melanoma. The results from the trial, which were presented during the 2020 AACR Annual Virtual Meeting 1, showed that the triplet led to a median PFS of 15.1 months versus 10.6 months with vemurafenib and cobimetinib, translating to a 22% reduction in the risk of progression or death with the triplet. Additionally, this benefit was reported across all prognostic subgroups that were analyzed. The median PFS, when assessed by independent review committee, was 16.1 months versus 12.3 months with the triplet and doublet, respectively. The objective response rates were comparable between the two treatment arms. However, patients who received the triplet experienced a prolonged median duration of response of 21 months versus 12.6 months with the doublet. In our exclusive interview, Hamid contextualized the FDA approval of atezolizumab in combination with cobimetinib and vemurafenib in BRAF V600 mutation-positive advanced melanoma and discussed important takeaways from the Inspire 150 trial. Thank you so much, Dr. Hamid, for joining us on an episode of Onc Live On Air to discuss the FDA approval of atezolizumab, cobimetinib, and vemurafenib for patients with BRAF V600 mutation-positive advanced melanoma. So before we get into kind of the significance of the approval, what has been the historical standard for patients with BRAF-positive melanoma?
So as you know, the historical standard is quite in flux. It's changed multiple times. And then as we've moved on more recently, it's gone into combinations. So we'll say when the approvals for vemurafenib came out, clear indication was that every patient with BRAF mutant melanoma would get a BRAF inhibitor given its high response rates and durability. As time has gone on, the questions changed because we've sort of understood that patients with negative prognostic factors such as multiple visceral sites, high LDH and CNS metastases, although they respond well, the duration of response is not as brief. And therefore, we have changed to the idea of immunotherapy for BRAF mutant patients as a first option for most oncologists and would only go forth with BRAF combinations for patients who had symptomatic, rapidly progressive disease or a contraindication to immunotherapy, such as autoimmune disease or the requirement for steroids for symptomatic CNS metastases. So despite that, we've moved forward from single agent BRAF inhibitors like vemurafenib and dabrafenib into combinatorials, which have clearly shown improved progression-free survival and overall survival in multiple trials in comparison to single agents. And we have three combinations that have come forth. Those are the combination of dabrafenib and trametinib, which is approved for unresectable, metastatic, and in the adjuvant setting. The combination of vemurafenib and cobimetinib, which was one of the first combinations approved and had sort of fallen back to the background. And then the most recent approval of encorafenib and imatinib from Columbus. That is tempered with a combination of checkpoint inhibitors, anti-PD-1 and anti-CTLA-4, which have shown not only a high response rate in BRAF mutant patients, but a rapid response and durable responses, at times more durable than the responses that we've seen with combined targeted agents. So it's been up in the air. With that, the question has always been, can we take combination BRAF and MEK inhibitors, that combination, and add something to it and improve our outcome? And quite frankly, the answer has been no up to recently. That's the background of the experience with BRAF and MEK inhibition, along with anti-CTLA-4 inhibition, with significant toxicities that were seen and forced closure of that trial even before it really began to ramp up and accrue. And with that, also clinical triplet trials looking at BRAF-MEK inhibitors along with anti-VEGF. So the Melanoma Research Foundation Breakthrough Consortium did a trial adding anti-VEGF therapy with Avastin and saw significant toxicity. But it only stood to reason based on our idea that targeting with BRAF and MEK inhibitor and adding a checkpoint would get the best of both worlds. That is a rapid response and symptomatologic improvement through the Lazarus phenomena, lifting the responses and improving progression-free survival. And then the immunotherapies added on, leading to more durable long-term survival, and then increasing that delta of the tail of the curve. And so that's where we were with the approvals of the PD-1, PD-L1 antibodies. The idea that you could now, instead of utilizing anti-CTLA-4 or anti-VEGF or anything else, take these different options for melanoma and put them together. And so that's how we get to Inspire 150.
Now, of course, at the end of July, we heard word of the approval of atezolizumab, cobimetinib, and vemurafenib. Could you elaborate on the data from the Inspire 150 trial that served as the basis for the approval and the sort of magnitude of benefit that we saw from that study?
Yeah, I will say that this has not been a rapid evaluation. We at Angeles were part of the phase one trial and put the first couple patients on the phase one evaluation. And that trial began with vemurafenib, then going to a PD-L1 antibody, atezolizumab. And after a while, it was amended to include cobimetinib. So vemurafenib, cobimetinib, and atezolizumab. And that phase one study showed some very interesting effects. And from there, we moved on. It's important to note that this combination has a novel run-in phase with targeted therapy alone for 1 month. And then you come in with the immunotherapy, the checkpoint inhibitor. That's in direct contrast to some of the other triplet trials that were ongoing. So this was a full-dose run-in with cobimetinib plus vemurafenib, and then going on to a decreased dose of the vemurafenib and adding the PD-L1 inhibitor. What we saw in the phase one is an increase in proliferating CD4 T helper cells and no increase in T regulatory cells and influx of T cells into the tumor. And that led to Inspire 150. And that was a phase three study, randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. Atezolizumab added to the combination of cobimetinib plus vemurafenib versus cobimetinib, vemurafenib, and placebo. This is for patients with treatment-naive, unresectable, or locally advanced or metastatic melanoma that harbored the BRAF V600 mutation, similar to the study design of all randomized BRAF mutant melanoma trials. And more recently, these results presented and then reported in The Lancet showed a significant improvement in investigator-initiated progression-free survival with the atezolizumab combination. So PFS was improved 15.1 months versus 10.6 months with a confidence interval that did not cross one and a hazard ratio of 0.78. On independent review, the difference in PFS was not statistically significant, but taken to the FDA, and I will stress, without overall survival data, this was enough to get the combination's approval. This was the first step in triplet combinations. What's also interesting is data presented from this trial by Paola Acerto, who's from Italy. And that data showed a delay in the appearance of CNS brain metastases in these patients. It gets you to thinking not only about maybe overall survival, we need more time to look at, progression-free survival, and most importantly, in places where there is significant morbidity, such as the central nervous system, this is a very big positive. The question remains, really, what are the breakdowns of the groups that benefited? If you're going to look at this, what about those subgroups with the worst responses, with the worst outcome, with just combination BRAF and MEK inhibition? Those that have been presented in subset analysis of the COMBI trials that led to the approval of dabrafenib and trametinib, CNS metastases, more than 3 visceral sites, high LDH, and we're awaiting some of that long-term data in those populations. What's important also is to look at the other combinations that have come forth, the other triplets. So Keynote 22 looked at the dabrafenib, trametinib, and pembrolizumab. Those were all given at full doses at the same time versus just the dabrafenib, trametinib, and that showed PFS benefit. Full data is continuing to be presented. And unfortunately, COMBI, and that's the Novartis PD-1 spartalizumab along with the dabrafenib and trametinib versus just the dabrafenib and trametinib, that showed no PFS difference. So that was a negative trial. And that was a significant trial with a phase 3 design. So we really need to go back to figure out why these trials are showing differences. Is it because of the patient population? Is it because of the run-in with the BRAF? And we need to tease things out. Negative data is not unusable data. What we have seen with immunotherapy, and this is a great point to make, is the patients who do the best with immunotherapy, who have the best long-term survival, lack of progression, are those patients who have complete responses. And when you look at COMBI, even though response rates look to be similar, the complete response rate with triplet was more than you would see with just BRAF and MEK inhibition alone. So long-term evaluation of how these patients do, what does the tail of the curve show here? And also, what happens when you do breakdowns in subsets and then analyze them? So we have a lot more to do and a lot more to tease from it. Is this ready for prime time? I would say the FDA has approved the MSPIRE 150 combination, so yes. But I would stress that if there's an opportunity to look at this in some form of clinical trial setting, I would stress the possibility of physicians referring to clinical trials so we get more information here. Also, the question still remains, is combination checkpoint inhibitor same, better, worse? For most of my colleagues, combination checkpoint inhibition is going to be their first option off the shelf for BRAF mutant patients with metastatic or unresectable melanoma. There more than likely will not be a randomized trial like the current ECOG trial that Michael Atkins is running, which is BRAF MEK inhibition versus IPI, limumab, nivolumab. Patients are randomized to one or the other and then transition over for upon progression. So that trial is, I believe, almost accrued or fully accrued. We'll look forward to that data and then we'll say, I don't know how to utilize this if I have triplets available. It has clouded that initial argument, but for the good. I will also state that this is, you don't have to choose one or the other. This is not Coke versus Pepsi, for example. One may be better in another role, whether this triplet combination with its high response rates and its complete response rates would be a better option in neoadjuvants or an adjuvant setting is something that we need to evaluate also.
You mentioned the run-in with the BRAF-MEK combination. What else should providers know when it comes to the regimen's administration and safety profile?
Right. One of the things that I would stress is the ability to be familiar with the toxicities of immunotherapy and the toxicities of combination targeted therapies. For example, combination targeted therapies can cause a multitude of ocular toxicities, including uveitis, which can be seen with immunotherapy, but retinal pigment epithelial dislocation or detachment is something that MEK inhibitors can cause, and also retinal vein occlusion. That should be on the differential for visual changes, and we need to tease those out. Cardiac toxicities, including decrement in ejection fraction, can be seen with MEK inhibitors and QT prolongation with BRAF inhibitors, but you can see cardiac muscle inflammation mimicking a myocardial infarction with a troponin rise with immunotherapy. Otherwise, you can see bleeding or clotting with BRAF and MEK therapies. You can see pulmonary toxicities with each. For example, shortness of breath or cough could be progressive disease in the lung, an effusion, anemia causing hypoxemia, or interstitial lung disease from the MEK inhibitor, or pneumonitis from the immunotherapy. So, in order to adequately utilize these combinations and ensure that you give dose intensity, you need to really understand the toxicities. Also, in order to choose the right patients for these combinations. So, a lot to learn. Now, I always end my discussions about BRAF inhibition with the idea and the understanding that BRAF mutations exist in about 8% of all solid tumors. They exist in glioblastomas, they exist in thyroid carcinomas, anaplastic thyroid cancers, in lung cancers, in colorectal cancer. And as we move forward, one can see that these triplet combinations, if we understand the right predictive markers or prognostic markers or the right patients and the right indication, we can understand where to go for other solid tumors.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.